Hello, and welcome to Primary Viewpoints from Patient Care Online, a monthly podcast that features informative conversations with healthcare experts, opinion leaders, and practicing physicians about what impacts primary care medicine today. I'm your host, Cindy Jennings, editor at Patient Care Online. In this episode, Dr. Rebecca Bernard discusses how physicians can recognize and help a colleague in emotional distress, including common signs to be aware of and how to start a conversation with a peer in distress, and underscores the importance of reaching out for help within the physician community. Dr. Bernard is a family physician and national speaker on physician wellness and practice management. She is also the owner of Gulf Coast Direct Primary Care in Fort Myers, Florida. So I read a recent article you wrote titled, How to Recognize and Help a Physician Colleagues in Emotional Distress. What are some of the common signs of emotional distress in physicians that other physicians should be aware of, particularly in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic?
It's really important just to recognize that physicians may be experiencing distress, but they don't always show it. In fact, it's pretty common for doctors to kind of present a mask as if everything is all right, because part of it is just the way that we're trained, that we're supposed to be more stoic. We're supposed to keep our emotions suppressed. So that's why sometimes when one of our colleagues does experience severe depression or even suicide, his or her colleagues may be completely shocked and taken aback because they never saw it coming. So we really need to be aware that our colleagues may be experiencing these symptoms and be on the lookout for it. And so some of the things that we may see in our colleagues, number one would be a change in their usual pattern of behavior. So a doctor that was always a stickler about being on time is suddenly showing up late. A person who is usually cheerful or happy-go-lucky, all of a sudden, they're irritable and more angry. So any kind of change in their usual pattern of behavior. Secondly, you're going to look for signs of isolation. So this means that maybe your colleague used to attend regular meetings and now they're just not showing up. They may agree to attend, but then at the last minute, they'll cancel because something has come up and maybe they do that over and over again. Perhaps you see that they are having not responding as quickly to emails or texts, not answering their phone. So any type of withdrawal or isolation can be a sign of physician distress. And then just like our patients who may experience depression or anxiety, you may see evidence of anhedonia. In other words, they just don't seem to enjoy things as much, a loss of interest. And they may have different physical complaints or manifestations like aches and pains, any kind of sleep issues, just the things that we usually associate with a person going through emotional distress.
And starting a dialogue about mental health with a colleague can be difficult no matter what profession. What are some ways that physicians can start a conversation about emotional health with a colleague they are concerned about?
So the first thing that you need to know is that it's important not to ignore that feeling that you have that maybe a colleague is in distress, or maybe you hear other people talking about it. If you have a clue that something is going on, it's really important to go ahead and step into that role, even though it may be uncomfortable, of actually addressing concerns with your colleague. It's really important to address directly concerns that you have. Don't ignore it or assume that someone else is going to step up, because in many cases, and so no one else will, everyone will just assume that someone else is going to step up. They actually call that the conspiracy of silence, where people notice that something's going on, but no one says anything. So it's going to feel uncomfortable most of the time because, you know, you're going to worry, is my colleague going to feel like I'm overstepping my bounds? Or what if they're really okay and now I'm going to risk stigmatizing them? Those are normal feelings. And we need to acknowledge that we feel that way, but we need to overcome that discomfort because the stakes are so high when our colleagues may be potentially suffering, and it is so important. So what you want to do is, if you are clued in that something is going on or you're concerned, then seek an opportunity to speak to your colleague, ideally in a time that is quiet or private. Perhaps at the end of the workday might be a good time when things are starting to settle down for the day, and try to find a time when maybe they're by themselves, ideally. And what you want to do is just approach them and just let them know that you're concerned about them and that you want to know how they're doing. So you might just start with just saying, you know, I noticed that you haven't been coming to our meetings lately, or I haven't seen you at any of our events. And I was just a little worried. I wanted to see how you were doing and ask if you were doing okay. Now, most of the time, the colleague is probably not going to just start telling you all of their issues right then. Most of the time, they're probably just going to say, no, I'm fine. So if they do that, and that may be true, but if you're not sure, then the best thing is to just continue to probe a little bit more deeply. So you would just, you know, recognize what they said, acknowledge it. So you say that you're fine. Well, I just wasn't sure because things seemed a little bit off and I was worried and I just wanted to find out a little bit more. So you're probing a little bit more deeply and watching your colleague to see how they respond, looking for clues that maybe they're not really as fine as they say they are. Now, hopefully, because you're showing them that you really do care, you're not just looking for them to say they're fine, you actually really want to know, hopefully they might start opening up a little bit more about what's going on in their lives. And if they do that, then what's really important is just to listen and to do what's called emotional mirroring and validation of emotions. So if the person starts telling you how stressed they are at work because they hate their electronic health record and they're really behind on their charting, and they're telling you these things, well, as doctors, a lot of times what we want to do is try to help people solve problems. That's what we do. So your colleague, you may start thinking to yourself, like, oh, I can help you fix the computer problem you're having. And why don't we try doing it this way? But that's not what we want to do in this instance. What we want to do is not problem solve. We just want to listen and let the physician colleague use this opportunity to start sharing their emotions. So if they're telling you how much they hate their computer, then you would just listen to them and you would say, it sounds like the system is really burdensome and I would be really frustrated too if I was dealing with that. So you're trying to repeat back the emotion that you hear your colleague saying and validate the emotion so that they feel heard and understood. And then you just want to continue that process and let them share those emotions because it is so important that we have that opportunity. And so as they start to open up and share and you see that there are a lot of things that they're struggling with, as we all are, then that's the opportunity to suggest to them that maybe they want to work with somebody to help them cope with these emotions and figure out what they need to do to find joy or to overcome whatever types of distress that they're dealing with. And it's really important as physicians in our communities that we know what resources are available. Maybe we don't need it for ourselves, but there could be a friend or a colleague who needs help. And so knowing that information can really come in handy. Maybe your community has a physician wellness program through the county, through the medical society. You can talk to them about the physician support line, which is a free and confidential psychiatrist run line just for physicians. You can tell them about different resources that you may know in your community and just encourage them to get help and let them know that it's okay and that we all struggle in different times and that we're really just like we would tell our patients, it's important that you get help so that you can be the best doctor that you can be.
Yeah. And being a national speaker on physician wellness, if you were addressing a room full of primary care clinicians, would you have three suggestions for them on connecting with colleagues and caring for their own well-being?
These last couple of years with COVID-19 has really made it hard for us to get together with our colleagues. And I think that we're more isolated in our own silos than we ever have been. So many of us now just go into our own offices and then we go home and we very rarely are mingling with our coworkers in doctors' lounges or at meetings. Now that we're getting through that and we're starting to have those opportunities to gather together, it's really time for us to start stepping out and taking advantage of time to meet with our friends, with our colleagues. I know it's hard because you're tired after a long day of work, but it's so important to find those opportunities to get together with people that are going through similar experiences. And if maybe you don't want to do a larger group meeting, like a medical society meeting, let's say, at least reach out to a friend or a colleague and just have coffee or lunch or dinner. Find those opportunities and really make them non-negotiable, because it's so easy to make plans and then, oh, I'm too busy. But it's really important. We need that time. We need those opportunities. So find those chances to meet up with colleagues, put it on your calendar, and definitely see it through. Secondly, I think it's really important that doctors remember to have compassion for ourselves. We have this culture in medicine that we're supposed to be superhuman, We're supposed to be able to stay up all night and work the next day. We're supposed to work through sicknesses and not have emotions. And, you know, we all know that that's ridiculous. And we would never allow our patients to say that that was okay for them. So it's not okay for us either. So we have to recognize that we're only humans. We do the best we can. We're going to make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. And that's going to be tough for a lot of us because of our personality types and because of the way we're trained. And that may mean that we need to reach out for some extra help from a professional so that we can learn how to take those steps. And finally, I think it's really critical that we all recognize that as physicians, we have options. We are never stuck. We are never trapped. A lot of times you're working a job, maybe you don't like it. Maybe there's a reason you feel like you have to stay in that job. You have a mortgage, you have kids in school, whatever it may be, but you always have another choice. It might not be a great choice, but there always is one. You're not trapped. You're not helpless. There's always another way out. So if you're starting to feel like you're in a negative thinking pattern where you're starting to feel like you're entering into that hopelessness, you know, that's really something that can get worse very quickly. And that's where doctors start to get into that very negative cognitive distortion where they start having those thoughts about ending their lives. Physician suicide, we know, is probably more than 400 doctors per year. So it is very real. And so if you're starting to have those kind of thoughts, we need to remember we have options and we need to reach out for help so that we can really examine those choices and realize that we are in control and we're not trapped.